If I am a star, the people made me a star.
Marilyn.
Marilyn Monroe.
Life is stage here and now. Fame is fickle.
Marilyn.
Marilyn Monroe.
I give you the two most exciting words in the modern dictionary. Marilyn Monroe!
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to this episode of All Things Marilyn. This is Scott Fortner, Marilyn Monroe historian, collector, and owner of the Marilyn Monroe Collection.
And I'm Elisa Jordan. I'm the founder of LA Woman Tours, an author, and I am also a Marilyn historian.
With us today is Mr. Marvin Scott. Chances are you're wondering, what does a gentleman named Marvin Scott have to do with Marilyn Monroe? And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But before we do, I'd like to take a couple of minutes to welcome Mr. Scott. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Scott, Elisa, how are you? Good to be with you today.
Thank you for being here.
Excited to have you here.
Always great to talk about Marilyn Monroe.
We are so happy you're here.
Marvin joined New York's WPIX in 1980 and has served in multiple capacities as an anchor, a reporter, a host, and producer. He's a member of the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame and a recipient of 12 prestigious Emmy Awards for journalistic achievement. He's been nominated for an Emmy more than 40 times over his 50-year career, and he won the Outstanding Entertainment Programming Emmy in 2006 for his enlightening interview of the King of Comedy, Jerry Lewis. Marvin's assignments have taken him from the front lines of Iraq, Cambodia, and the Middle East to the highways of the U.S. South, where he covered civil rights protests with Dr. Martin Luther King. He spent Christmas 2004, 2006, 2008, and 2009 with New York soldiers in Iraq and 2013 in Afghanistan, and he's interviewed 6 American presidents. His coverage of the congressional Whitewater hearings won him an Emmy for outstanding political reporting. And he's the author of As I Saw It, A Reporter's Intrepid Journey, which is a collection of 26 of the more unique stories of the estimated 15,000 that he's covered over the past century. And so now is the big question. Marvin, tell us, what do you have to do with Marilyn Monroe?
Well, let's say it was a long, long time ago. I was a kid. I was about 15 years old when I got an opportunity to stand face to face with America's sex goddess. But how'd that happen? She was making her first public appearance after her divorce from Joe DiMaggio, circa 1955. And she was showing up at a benefit for leukemia for the opening night of the Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus at Madison Square Garden. She came in with Milton Green, a photographer who took many of her photographs and was a dear friend with whom she was staying after the divorce. She walked in and she was, to say, bigger than life.
Wow.
For a 15-year-old kid with raging hormones, this was quite a moment. And how I got in, I went to the press department at Madison Square Garden, and I told them I wanted to cover her appearance for my high school newspaper. Up in the Bronx, my high school newspaper, I showed them my high school press pass, and they bought it.
Wow. So this was March 31st, 1955, at Madison Square Garden, that you got a chance to go and take Marilyn's photographs.
Put on a jacket, tie, and I really dressed it nicely because I figured, here are all these professional photographers. And I walked in like I really belonged, showed my high school press pass and the one they gave me for the garden, and here I was with the paparazzi. And they figured, hey, he's a kid, he's not gonna be a problem, he's not a threat, he's not a competitor. I elbowed my way in with my Rolleiflex, which I still have to the day.
Oh my goodness.
I was gonna ask you that.
With the camera. This wow. is what I saw. 2 1/4 photographs of Marilyn, and I popped pictures. First, there were pictures of her getting and being positioned on the elephant. She was wearing this, skimpy outfit. I think you have a picture. I'll grab it. Have it right there. Radiant. Radiant. And I've often said Marilyn was, she toyed with a camera the way a kitten might toy with a spool of wool. She was magnetic with every click of the shutter. Here I am popping pictures. And out of all the pictures I took, I had 8 that are really iconic. I didn't realize that until a couple of years later, people who saw the pictures said, you realize what you have of Marilyn? I guess I didn't. I knew they were great photographs. But it was the moment I caught her. It was her expression. It was all Marilyn Monroe. This was without question America's sex goddess. So I'm popping pictures. Then one point, when she's walking, I guess she was walking to be mounted on the elephant. She's walking and everyone's popping pictures. And here I am keeping my pace and popping pictures. And at one point, I heard her say in this wispy voice, "Is this all right?" Turned around. She was talking to me.
Oh, wow.
Marilyn Monroe was talking to me. And I said, "Yes, Miss Monroe." She said, "Is this all right?" And that's one of the pictures. Let me show you this one. This one in particular. Now, where is it? This one in particular. This is the one. Walking towards me, hand over her shoulder. Is this all right?
Oh, wow.
I said, wait till I go back to school and tell my buddies Marilyn Monroe spoke to me.
For our listeners, we'll put in the photo that you just showed. We'll put it in the post so people can know which photo you're actually talking about right here. And that was one of our questions, is what your friend said in school.
Yeah. If you shared with them. Did you go back to school and tell them what you had done?
Two letters, BS. Until I showed them pictures. Those days wasn't easy. We didn't have cell phones to take selfies, or I would have grabbed one. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to get another photographer. The way it all transpired, it was so rapid, the events of that evening. And they hustled her into the center ring with the roar, the absolute roar of the entire crowd at Madison Square Garden that night. I think of Marilyn Monroe. I've done a number of stories on her over the years. And I remember there was a photographer, Eve Arnold, who told me in a soundbite that Marilyn, she was the animal trainer and the photographer was the beast.
Oh. That's how she
described her. But she had a love affair with a camera. Mm-hmm. And from my brief experience, I can say that is so true. Because as I said a moment ago, there was a magnetic charge in Marilyn with each click of the shutter. She seemed at moments studied, but just so radiant and so glamorous. Mm. And one of the things women in particular are very interested to hear, the costume in those photographs she was wearing. Alisa, what size do you think she was?
We've talked about this quite a bit. She was probably a modern size 2 or 4.
Would you be shocked if I told you? I was told the costume she was wearing was a size 16.
That was 1950s sizes, right? She was tiny, right?
I did a story a number of years ago for Parade magazine about the whole sizing thing and designers, how they were appealing to the psyche of you women and how sizing changed. But the costume she was wearing that night, I was told, was a size 16.
Mm. That's probably true.
Yeah, vanity sizing today has created a standard for a size 0 or even a 00. I'm actually lucky enough to own quite a few of Marilyn's personal clothing items. And so we have an idea of her actual size. So not at all surprised to hear what you're saying. And I will share with you that a very close friend of mine actually owns the costume that she wore that night. I've seen it live and in person. What a fantastic experience. And one of the questions that I had for you was, have you ever seen yourself in photos of that night by chance? Because she was so photographed and there was even film footage. I don't know if you've ever looked, but wouldn't it be incredible to actually see a photo of yourself there that night?
I thought I did in a wide shot. It looked like it could have been me, recognizing by the sport jacket I was wearing.
Okay.
But no, other than that, I have not.
Yeah. It's out there. And I've been doing this for over 2 decades now, and I'm still amazed at the number of times that new photos of Marilyn show up. Mm-hmm. It really is incredible. Speaking of photos, we want to go back to the beginning and ask you, what got you into photography at that age or earlier? And did you find that your family was supportive of that? Was that something that was okay?
Yes, it was. I like taking pictures, but what really generated my career, what ignited my career, was a fire. Literally, I think I was about 14. I took a picture of a raging inferno in my neighborhood in the Bronx, where night turned to day. It was such a conflagration. And New York's Daily News was New York's picture newspaper. And they encouraged people, as we do in television today, video, give it to us, send it to us. They bought this photograph from me. But it was the electric charge of the excitement of that moment and going into the Daily News building and seeing the newsroom and all that excitement. And I got bugged. I got hit by it. Mm-hmm. And then coming back into my neighborhood and all the people in the corner asking me what happened, and having been right on top of the fire, I told them what I knew. So you could say that was my first newscast at the age of 14. So that is what really generated the excitement of the news business. And photography was always a hobby. And to this day, it remains a passion of mine.
So you knew from a very young age you wanted to go into news.
Absolutely. I was very blessed. I knew that, yes.
So when you were 15, did you sell some of these Maryland photos to newspapers?
Oh, I wish I had it here. It was a pocket magazine, very small. It was People Magazine. And yes, they bought a series of pictures that I had taken at the circus, the one of Maryland and three others. Yes, I think they paid me $50 for it. That was
that's wow. That was probably a lot of money back then, though.
Especially to a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
What did I do? I bought more stuff of my photography hobby.
But you're reinvesting in yourself.
I did that. Yes, yes. And it's just been exciting. When mm-hmm. I'm out on news stories, a camera is part of my appendage. I'm always out there looking for a new shot. And I'm still into my photography to this day. Not with my Rolleiflex, though.
I love that you still have that. That was actually going to be one of my questions, because those are very collectible. People actually buy cameras just mm-hmm. because they shot Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. There's value not just in your photos, but in the actual camera.
But it's incredible. I have a couple of things. I have a whole sheet of the Marilyn
stamps. Yeah.
A whole sheet when they first came out. I don't know where I got this. Someone gave me this. A Marilyn lighter.
Lighter.
Yeah.
Collectibles, you guys know better than I do how treasured they are.
Yeah.
You can't get enough of Marilyn.
You
can't. 60 years after her death, she is still relevant. When mm-hmm. I go out and do a story on an anniversary, it's the young people who weren't even born then who still adore her, and they collect these photographs. I just had an auction at Heritage Auction House of some of the Marilyn photos.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this great interest. You go on their website and you see how many different photographs there are of Marilyn. It's simply incredible. Mm-hmm. She is the third highest earner of memorabilia.
She's
up there.
She's definitely in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah.
And that was one of our questions that we wanted to ask you, Marvin, is you experienced Marilyn when she was alive. And also today, you're experiencing her years after her death. What do you think of how she's viewed today compared to how she was viewed when she was alive?
I think in the minds of the people who were alive then, and in the minds of young people who only have read about her or seen her in films or seen photos, I think she's still as gigantic a figure as she was back then, and maybe even more so because there is so much controversy that surrounds her about her marriages and about her death. I think she is viewed today and just judged by the sales of Marilyn Monroe memorabilia, the sale of my photographs that still mm-hmm. generate excitement, your friend who bought her costume. I think it just, in the minds of many, she still lives.
That's so true. So true. She's still so prevalent today.
And as someone who saw her in person, and you did talk about this, we have talked to people who saw her in person and they all say the same thing, which is you couldn't take your eyes off of her. It was like she glowed. And the way you talk about her, it sounds like that was really true.
Absolutely. She was radiant, but there was a charm. I remember that moment when she was walking towards me, I could see the faint smile in her face. And she was coming out after a very difficult time in her life after mm-hmm. the divorce from Joe DiMaggio. And this was, as I said, was her first public appearance. For me, I could say that moment was one of those pinch moments here in front of Marilyn Monroe. And I've met a lot of people over the years, but Marilyn Monroe stands out as probably one of the most iconic. Probably the other woman who I would say I had similar feelings when I interviewed, Sophia Loren, mm-hmm. I just couldn't take my eyes off her.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was a special moment.
And how did you find out about the event?
Oh, it was publicized. It was mm-hmm. publicized that there was going to be the opening of the circus that year and that Marilyn Monroe would be making her first appearance since her divorce.
Wow.
And I decided I wanted to meet her. So I came up with the idea of using my high school press pass. It worked.
Do you still have your press pass?
I have. Not the press pass. Yes, I have it. As a matter of fact,
you do?
I was looking for it last night. Yeah, I have the thing from Madison Square Garden that gave me admittance to the evening.
It just gets better.
I save all this stuff. God, yeah. I must have more memorabilia here if I ever started really looking around.
For our viewers who are not part of the live interview that we're doing on Zoom right now, Elisa can see everything mm-hmm. behind you. pictures of you with presidents and your Emmys and certificates and awards. And it's really amazing. You've certainly led an incredible, interesting career. Again, we're just really happy that you're sharing your story of Maryland with us. Another question that I had was, when you see Maryland in person, how did that impact your awareness of her? You didn't just see her, you had an interaction with her. She spoke to you. Did you find that that changed how you maybe followed her, for lack of a better word? Did you see her films? Did you pay close attention to her in the news? And what was it like when you heard that she'd passed?
The question I had was the question the rest of us had at that time, and the question that persists 60 years later, the circumstances of her death. It was a two-part question you asked. My perception, I don't think I was that possessed by the Maryland image before I met her. I knew how iconic she was and that she was America's sex symbol. And I was very excited to have an opportunity to photograph her and to meet her. But no, I didn't have any notions prior to that other than the sexuality she exuded at that time. She was America's sex goddess. And I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I wanted to meet her, and I did. So that was the first part of the question. The second part about, I think the controversy persists even to this day, the circumstances of her death. There are all kinds of notions out there, mm-hmm. and I have no answer to it.
How did you feel when you heard the news? Do you recall?
Very sad. This is a woman who was held in such high esteem by Americans all across the country who have lost her in such a way, and for it to be suggested that it was a suicide or an overdose of narcotics, to have lost someone we adored. I would say Americans adored Marilyn Monroe. When I've gone out in years past and asked people, they talked about her so adoringly. So they felt they lost a part of America when they lost Marilyn. You talk about Marilyn Monroe, we adored her, but she was really a very sad soul, because from the stories I've done of her, one of the things, she wanted nothing more than love. And she tried that with some unsuccessful marriages, and it didn't work out for her. She knew, there's a quote I want to give you here. She wanted to be taken seriously as an actress, and she wanted affection. One of the photographers, or a columnist once observed about Marilyn, Marilyn was the stuff that dreams are made of. Her legacy is that we're all still dreaming. And that was Marilyn Monroe. And that's why we're still talking about her all these years later, 60 years after her death. It's remarkable. How many people are there? You got Elvis Presley is one of them, and Marilyn Monroe. Very incredible. And incredible that you have, Lisa and Scott, that you have the following you do. Mm-hmm. There's so many people out there who still are obsessed with the memories and collect all the Marilyn memorabilia, her pictures, her stamps.
Yeah. It must have been very interesting for you to continue to do stories after you met her. You had a connection that most people don't have.
And I pop up my pictures that I took of her. And I've done a number of reports on her. I think some of them may even be on YouTube. I don't know, UPIX. Yeah. Just Marvin Scott, Google, whatever. You never know what you find on there.
Sure. So speaking of the pictures, that was actually the way that we discovered you, recognizing and realizing I followed the auctions very closely and discovered that the photographs had been taken by you, did a little bit of research, figured out how to get in touch with you, and here we are. And so about those photos, did you develop them yourself? Did you take them somewhere after you had shot Marilyn at the circus in 1955?
Very interesting question. I think Elisa asked me something about that earlier about family and pictures. I don't think I ever answered it. I'll tell you an interesting story. Yes, I did develop them myself. And I had to make a reservation with my parents, because where was my dark room? In our bathroom. I had boards across the tub. I had an enlarger. All the trays for hand developing the pictures. Mom, need the dark room today. Need a shower? Go on, quick, take the pictures.
And what a risk. If somebody had walked in while you were developing, they would have been destroyed, the negatives.
No, I knew where the lock was.
Okay.
So how, as a teenager, did you learn how to develop your own film?
Well, I had an uncle who was into photography, and he had a private home. And he had a darkroom in the basement, and he let me use it. And he taught me how to use things. So that's where it developed, and he bought me a camera. And that was how it all began.
So your family really was involved in helping you develop your career aspirations.
Let's say they put up with me.
We know the feeling. We know the feeling.
When people talk to you about Marilyn, what do they want to say to you or ask you?
They want to ask me what it was like to photograph her.
Yeah.
And they ask about the costume, and they're shocked when I tell them that I was informed that the costume was a size 16.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Scott, your friend may know, he's got the costume. Do they put sizes inside them those days?
Yeah, I don't think it has a size in it because it was actually custom made for Marilyn by a costumer there in New York. But it's one of a kind. And we've talked in the past about how small Marilyn actually was. There's this idea that she was plus sized, which is a term widely used today. But the truth is she was just a bit fleshy. And as they said in Some Like It Hot, it's like Jell-O on springs. And I think that gives the illusion that she might be a little bit bigger than she actually is. But I have a leather belt that she owned that she wore in the early 1950s that when it's fastened, it's about 27 inches. She's tiny. She was a very small person.
For me, she did not look. Size 16 means heavy. Marilyn Monroe did not at all look heavy to me. The night I met her back in 1955. She wiggled, she jiggled, she moved with every click of the shutter. She was Marilyn Monroe. Gosh, amazing. I was standing in front of her.
Amazing.
This was such a big event that you covered, and you were only 15, and I know you had an interest in news already. Did this event inspire you to keep going and just solidify that this is what you wanted to do with your life?
It did. Really, because this was like a year after I had my sale of my fire photo to the Daily News. And here I was at another event. And I kept that there with my camera. And on a number of occasions, I saw opportunities to sell my pictures to magazines, to newspapers, when there were events and I happened to be there. So, yeah, it generated that excitement in me to want to pursue a career in news. And as I say, the photography started it. And it hasn't left me. I can't tell you how often I go out of a story and I got a camera slung over my shoulder and still taking pictures.
Do you happen to recall the name of the elephant that she was riding that night?
I could tell you the camel I rode in Egypt, but I can't remember.
I believe it was Cunardi was the actual name of the elephant that she rode that night. And it had been painted pink, of course, for her to ride around the circus.
So. Yes, pink, but my focus wasn't on the elephant, forgive me.
So what I'm hearing is you couldn't care less what the name of the elephant was. One final question that we wanted to ask, and it's been fascinating. We don't often run across a lot of people that have actually experienced Marilyn live and in person. I know several people have done that, but yet in general, the number is decreasing, obviously, just over time. We were just curious just about your career in general. There's a difference between striving for a goal and achieving a goal, and you've clearly had a very accomplished career and are very recognized. And you got to start at a very young age with selling the photograph and, of course, seeing Marilyn Monroe. What advice do you have for our listeners on setting goals and achieving?
It may sound like a cliche, Scott, but I have talked to students in schools and I used the word dream. When I was a kid growing up in the Bronx, I had a dream and I followed that dream. Everything I sought, I didn't succeed at. But I never gave up. And I think the message I have, if you have that dream, follow it, because it will happen. And I would say almost 60 years later, I'm still living that dream because I'm still doing what I wanted to do when I was a kid growing up in the Bronx. And it has and continues to be a very exciting career. I label myself as a storyteller, and I never lost sight of that. And as a storyteller, I'm not a commentator. In my entire career, my viewers have never known politically whether I'm right, left, or center. I just tell the stories. In journalism school, they taught us Rudyard Kipling had five faithful serving men. Who, what, when, where, why? And that's what I abide by. Early on in journalism, journalists used to start working on obituary pages in the newspaper. And the reason for that was who, what, when, why, where. And I have followed that path. So my guidance to people, don't give up. There may be some moments of shortfalls as you pursue that career, but don't, if you believe in yourself and you believe in what you want to do, follow that path. I did, and I succeeded, and I'm still following.
Great advice. Marvin, thank you so much for joining us. This has been fascinating.
Yeah.
We've been really looking forward to getting you on the podcast and learning more about your time with Marilyn and also just your story in general. Again, you're just a very accomplished professional, and we are thrilled to be able to spend some time with you. So thank you for fitting us into your very busy schedule.
Thank you. And it was good to be with both of you, Lisa and Scott. Thank you and great, wonderful holiday. Yeah. Enjoy.
Thank you very much.
All
right, everyone. We really appreciate you for tuning in and listening. If you have thoughts or ideas, suggestions, or feedback for us, or if you just want to email us and say hello, you can do so by reaching out to us via email at allthingsmarylandpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can just message us on Instagram. Our Instagram account is @allthingsmarylandpodcast.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in for this episode. And we'll see you next time on All Things Maryland.
Good night, man.
Bye-bye.
You loved on the screen, and that's the one thing that survived, you know.
I realize more and more the responsibility, but you do miss sometimes just being able to be completely yourself and someplace, and people just know you as another human being.